Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Sorry we've had a couple of weeks off, but work has intervened and a few other things that got in the way. We've moved the shows to Wednesday, so there's only a couple of people in the chat room because no one realised. There's no Brett because he thought, oh crap, it's not Wednesday, and he's forgotten. And Jeff hadn't realised as well that the date had moved, and Patrice had already got a meeting booked in for work, so we're down on the ground a little bit. There's still plenty to talk about, and there's still the three of us. So I'm sat in a coat because I forgot to put the bloody radiators on. I'm freezing in here. But hopefully it'll have warmed up by the big show. Joining me, the troopers that have bothered to turn out, Doc Rock and Callum. How you doing, boys?
Not too bad.
Doc, how's the knee? I haven't seen you in ages.
It's getting there. And the funny thing is, I was like, oh, today's going to be great. I woke up this morning and it was crampy. But I was like, oh, you know, yesterday I was busy moving to office. I walked outside. It's pouring down rain. And I was like, oh. I used to always tease my grandmother because I thought she was full of crap when she used to talk about how the rain would make her joints tight. She was telling the truth.
Well, it does increase pressure, doesn't it? That's the thing. There is a barometric pressure change, so it can't be a complete bunkum.
Yeah, I always thought it was complete BS, but it's kind of true. It hurts.
Yeah, some people get headaches and that kind of stuff, so it can't be real. Are you back to full mobility yet, though, or...?
I wouldn't say full, but I can walk. The limp is barely noticeable. It basically just looks like I'm trying to walk cool. And I can bend my legs to about 110 degrees, but the doctor says I should be able to get it to like 140 plus. So that's what the PT is for now, try to get that full range back.
So 140 is where I know that's back as well, not forwards. So 140 is like where you're touching your ass with your heel.
Yeah. That's about right for the average people.
Okay, cool.
So somewhere between 140 and 150, your heel should be smashing your buttocks.
Excellent, mate. How's Man United doing at the moment? We don't talk to you about that much.
I think we're getting better.
At least you're not Manchester City.
It's a work in progress.
At least you're not Manchester City.
Oh, it kind of cracks me up, man. I don't even know. I mean, part of me wants to be happy because I hate them. But then the other part of me is like, wow, I feel more sad for the players that are involved in this.
Yeah. No.
No, but they're rich. Never mind.
They'll do it. And next to him is Callum. I'm in Max. Hello. How you doing, boy?
Yeah, not too bad. Okay. Busy week, busy day. It's all getting there. So. Lot of kind of overspill from last month, so
new computer
have come back since January, so yeah, it's good.
New computer, you say?
Sorry,
new computer, you say?
Different.
What did you get? So what did you go for? You got rid of your what, and then you bought a what?
So I had a 21.5-inch iMac from 2012, and now I've got a 21.5-inch iMac from 2010. So going backwards.
Oh, right. Okay. Because I was going to say the camera looks very different, but it does. But I wouldn't have said it was crappier.
No. I mean, this is literally, I think, 9.5-year-old machine. It's fine. Just that sound issue that I need to keep an eye on.
Yeah. But, no. Yeah. It's good. The week in Mac, all the stuff that's gone on, all the shiz that's happened. Story for this week, today, actually. Which is quite interesting. I've kind of worked this into the Mac show because of the fact that it's been updated for dark mode. But I couldn't believe this. Photoshop has turned 30 today. 30. How old are you, Cal?
I'm 20, so.
10 years before you were even thought of, mate. Photoshop was out there. My first version was version 4. And then I kind of used it a little bit, but not very much. And then version 6 was where I started using it really an awful lot for work and stuff. And that's the original 6, not CS or anything like that. 6 and 7 were going, that's going back to what, 90? I'm going to go 97?
Yeah.
Good 2 years.
96, before, 97, before something like that. Thanks, mate. I feel old already. But, I mean, Photoshop's the ubiquitous tool now, isn't it? And particularly on Mac, it's had a really good run. Do you guys use it much?
I use Photoshop pretty much all day, every day. But I'm at this point a lot more Illustrator, but I still have to go into Photoshop every once in a while to set things up.
See, now here's the thing is that Ellis will go to Illustrator as a default, whereas I'll tend to make things in Photoshop. I don't really get Illustrator as easily because I've not used it as much. Photoshop's been my thing. And then a lot of people start using Lightroom, and all the stuff that you can do in Lightroom, I just end up doing in Photoshop because I know the controls, I know the shortcuts, and it's easier. It's almost like I use Photoshop a little more like a DTP system as well.
That's funny because that's a common thing. A lot of people use Photoshop as a DTP program, and you have to be really good at your print skills in order to do that. Because I did it for a while too, and then I remember everybody was getting on the PageMaker when Adobe first purchased it, and
God,
I was still Quark Express guy.
Yeah, no, PageMaker was good. Really good.
I started using Photoshop in about 91 or 92. It just switched the name. It wasn't Photoshop in the beginning. It was something else. I can't even remember. But what was really cool is about that time, the thing to do was what's known as channel operations, right? Some people still do now, but it's very rare because they figured out ways to do, you know, a lot of this. So in order to do certain colors or certain techniques, you would break your layers open. At that time, layers weren't even a thing completely yet either. You would basically open the channels up in the RGB and alpha, and you would make changes to the individual channels in order to get cool effects in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And one of the very first programs that I can remember was something called Kai's Plugins, because there was a guy named Kai Krause who used to come on the IRCs and tell you how to do all of these channel operations. And one day you had Kai's Power Tools, and then you had Noel Power Tools, which basically the brothers that invented Photoshop also made these plugins. And they were like the very, very first plugins. It was super trippy. But I was at CES back then, and I would say it has to be like 92 or 93, because it was our first year that they put Virtual Vixen onto a CD-ROM, and it cost like $400. And it was these tiny little pornographic JPEGs.
Oh, God.
and from that moment on is when, to me, I remember Photoshop blowing up was
because of porn.
The two trains collided, right? You had the first plugins came out that made channel operations easier, and that was Kai's Power Tools. And I would look it up to give you an exact date when it came out. And that very first like computer industry matching up with the porn industry, because the CD-ROM had just come out. And we don't mean playing movies or anything. We mean just the ability to have a bunch of image files stored onto a disc. And I want to say it was probably circa 92, 93. I remember the show at Las Vegas supremely because I had a long chat with Kai Krause, and he was like seeing an action hero to me. And that's exactly when I knew I was 100% that nerd.
Yeah. we did it. We nearly did a little podcast that we were going to do like an homage to Desert Island Discs, but it was going to be about you get washed away with 8 pieces of tech. So you had the tech that you could take with you. You know, you've got to go on the desert island. What's the piece of tech that you want and why? The reading we were going to give was going to be Windows for Dummies and a copy of Deke's Photoshop Bible. Those are the two things. Those are the two books you got to take with you by default. On Desert Island Books you get the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible, and Deke's Photoshop Bible was going to be there. That was the most unpleasant read there's ever been in books. It was full of information, but whether you could find it or not is a different thing. And I never bought it. I never fell into that trap. I did have a copy that someone gave me, and it was about as useful as a doorstop in the end.
Deke McClellan still has all of the videos on lynda.com or whatever they call themselves after LinkedIn.
Oh, wow. No, that'd be really good. I mean, I bet the videos were good because the content was probably excellent, but it was just trying to read it and find it and go through it. I was a big devotee of Kelby. I love Scott Kelby's stuff. His stuff was really, really cool. It was dead simple. It was like, okay. And there was a book he did on projects in when it came out for CS2. And he said, here's the thing, right? Do projects. And it was like, how do you make a watch ad? How do you make a retirement ad for two couples? And he just got the pictures and showed you how to manipulate the images to make it look like a decent advert. And it was easily the best way of dealing with it because you learn how to do the techniques, but you actually got something at the end of it that was like a functioning art piece that you could oh yeah, okay, I get you, I did that. So it was cool. Callum, you started on what version of Photoshop, or you don't use it at all now anyway?
Don't use it at all. yeah, it doesn't really come into fixing Macs too much, but what I will say is it's had such a massive impact in the world of Apple. I mean, almost every single, not every single, but an awful lot of repairs that come through the door of people who use that piece of software for a living on an Apple product. It's you know, such an important thing for the kind of creative world, and a lot of creative people use Apple as well. So it is
Lightroom's kind of taken over for the amateur, definitely, but I think there's probably a lot of particularly older wizened and hard, weathered pros like myself who probably find it very hard to break away from it.
Yeah.
Good piece of software.
Definitely.
I'll try dark mode later on when it updates. Right, 10 more stores have reopened across China after the coronavirus outbreak. Just generally a chat about it. I don't want to make light of it because it's not funny, but there's a bit of me wondering whether coronavirus has actually had a massive impact on world manufacturing, or whether it's being over-exaggerated is almost like a good day to bury bad news. I know that there's a thing where it says that global netbook shipments in Q1 are estimated to decrease by 36% because of coronavirus outbreak. And I don't know if there's a bit of a cynical element to me, whether people are going to jump on that and go, oh, there's less notebooks to buy, therefore the price is going to go up because the demand is higher, or whether I'm being a bit too harsh. But
for us, certainly it has had an impact, because obviously we get a lot of our parts from kind of third parties in the UK, but they get all their stock from China. And you know, we've had a supplier say to us this week, you need to be kind of looking at stocking up because we're not getting much of anything out of China, and their prices are kind of creeping up.
Yeah.
So you know, we've done a big kind of purchase order this week, so you know, we'll have
to get it as soon as you can.
But it is kind of frightening, because you know, everything in kind of, you know, the tech industry generally, it almost all comes out of China, all of it.
So, yeah, we are reliant on that as a single source. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doc, so, anything from the Hawaiian side? I mean, you're not exactly close to China, but closer than me and Callum. You're on mute, dude.
All right, I'm back.
I can edit,
you can tell. You can tell because Waikiki is thinning out, and that's because the tourists aren't traveling.
Yeah.
Now most of our tourists, lining two different data points together. I think a lot of our tourists that come are the new rich, or the nouveau riche, as you would call it. And that means that they're in the tech side, you know, they're into the mobile phone cases and things like that. So these guys got money all of a sudden. Yeah. So one of the first places you go is Hawaii, because it's the closest place they can go besides Japan. And they'll be comfortable here because a lot of people here speak Chinese of, you know, various dialects. So the travel industry here has done really well with inviting them to, you know, come in and be here. So you can see the shrink in Waikiki. The other thing that I kind of noticed anecdotally is I had like three different Kickstarters, two from Hyperjuice and one from another company, that were all supposed to ship in late January. And our Kickstarters are always late, but the things that I've bought in the past from Hyperdisc and Hyperjuice have never been late, because they're kind of established companies. And it's funny, they haven't said anything in the update specifically, but you know, there's about a lot of people on the sort of the update channel going, hey, where's my stuff? And I'm like, you do realize they manufacture this in China, and the manufacturing place is not that far from Wuhan. Yeah. And then, you know, some people are like, well, I don't get it. And other people are like, you're stupid. Like the factories are closed, ding dong.
I think the other thing is as well that a lot of people aren't. I read a report the other day and they were talking about why is everyone so upset over it? Because there's only like 30,000 cases that have actually been reported worldwide. But the guy was saying, so if you look at malaria, you know, you're talking 3 million cases a year or something stupid. And if you talk about influenza, you're talking about 40 million cases a year. But what he was saying is the death rate for both of those is only 0.9%. So only, that's a lot of people, don't get me wrong, but it's 0.9% death rate. The problem that you've got with coronavirus is it's nearly 3%. So you've got a 3% chance of dying from it across the population. Yeah, it's going to go for the older folk first more than it's going to go for the fit and healthy teens to 20s, but the death rate is high. That's the key part. It's the fact that you are going to kill more people with this. And if it starts to release, then there is going to be a big issue. I think closing Apple stores is, you know, the last thing you need is for people to go outside and start spreading it around. And someone did say it's on the decline, isn't it? That there's actually been an effective, you know, the embargo and the lockdown has actually made a bit of an impact on it. So it is either proliferation rate is slowing.
Mm-hmm. I have friends there, and you know, I always call to check on them to see how they're doing and whatnot. And one of my buddies is like, the thing that's the most eerie to me, you know, for a person that grew up here on the Big Island, which is the largest island, but it's not as heavily populated because it's so mountainous and volcanoes. You know, the two big volcanoes are there. He says it's really eerie to look out the window and you see nothing moving in China. He said it's super, super eerie. So he sent me a picture of his wife and the two daughters, and they all have their mask on and they're all bundled up in the house, you know. And I think that part is a little trippy. But the other thing that I saw, which is cool, is there's signs all around, and it's written in Chinese, and it basically says, it's up to everyone in the country to do their part to stop the spread of this virus. And then so people are really banded together to try to stop it. And there's all these conspiracy theories that, you know, the government did it or they're lying about how bad it is. And I would say there's probably some truth to they're not saying exactly how bad it is, but they're also working extremely hard to fix it. And if there was going to be a place where this happened, it would have to be China, because of the how fast they can work at fixing it. We have too many people like, oh, it's my right to go outside. You're not going to make me stay in the house. And they would be the spreader, and not even, maybe not on purpose, but everyone here has way too many, it's my right, it's my privilege to do things when they should absolutely stop. And you could tell that just by watching the number of old people that drive cars into stores when they should have been giving up their keys. But that fight, you know, is hard. And I had that fight with my dad this week. So I know exactly how hard that fight is. I was like, no, Pops, my brother and I are taking the keys and I don't want to have to kick a 78-year-old man's ass, but you're going to have to come for me to get these back, because he hit a car and didn't even know it.
That's not good. If you are affected by it, then we wish you well and stay safe. Eh? There's no one that we know really from China in the, because of the podcast, but it's not present. Not we're not making light of it. Apple releases on watchOS 6.13 with heart rhythm notification bugs. I have first-hand knowledge of this. We were out drinking, and me and Muller went to a bar. We're both pretty well inebriated. We're struggling. And his watch gave him an arrhythmia notification. And I'm like, dude, that's serious. And he's like, nah. Pfft. And he carried on drinking. And then about 10 minutes later, he gave him another arrhythmia notification. Mate, we've got to get to a hospital. Two bliss blokes with arrhythmia notifications. They were giving out a few of these, but I don't think he wasn't that bothered. And it didn't strike me that it was real, but this is what's been going out. But if you've got a watch, then get yourself 613 on it, and those bugs should go away. It'd be interesting if we know anyone who's who's had that notification. Oh, the other thing was this week, right? This is dead interesting. I went out over the weekend and my phone got a little bit damp, but it wasn't wet. It was in an inside pocket in a Gore-Tex thing I had. Probably got a bit more sweaty than anything, than rain from the stuff. So all of a sudden on Sunday night, Siri stops working. Just completely gone. I'm sitting there doing Yo Siri and nothing's coming up. And then I thought, well, okay, maybe I've screwed the microphone. So I did a voice recording and the voice recording's clear and crystal. It's absolutely beautiful. But Siri stopped working and I cannot get it to start. I have no idea what to do. I switched it off to switch it back on again. And now I've switched it back on. And because it can't hear my voice, it's just not interested. So other than a full phone reset and go back to factory settings, I haven't got a clue what to do. Any ideas?
You know what's funny is my Hey Siri doesn't Siri anymore either unless I have my AirPods in, my AirPod Pros in. And it's weird because it was totally working and it just stopped. So I just thought it was a bug in the latest version of 13. No,
it just suddenly stopped on Friday and there was nothing that I'd done other than the phone could have got a bit wet. But that would have screwed up the mic. It would have screwed up. So I don't know. Anyone else had this?
As you say, it would have made a hardware problem rather than, you know, you wouldn't have been able to do that voice recording, as you say.
Yeah.
That is really strange. I think I said to you at the time, you know, you're probably looking software. I asked you if you'd had the latest iOS.
Yeah, I've got like iOS on, and I don't know whether it did an update over the weekend or not, but just interesting.
And you have you have SetApp, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So do the iPhone backup thing in SetApp. They changed it. It used to be iAmazing, which I absolutely love, but now there's a new one. I forgot what they changed it to. AnyTrans. So yeah, just do a full encrypted backup on AnyTrans and do the restore. It's so much faster with these AnyTrans or iAmazing than doing the iTunes way, which is weird because it's just software on a computer. But the rate that it transfers the things in and out is much, much quicker.
Oh.
And so, yeah, AnyTrans is in SetApp. Just make sure you do an encrypted backup and wipe it and then tell them to go back.
It'll be fine. AnyTrans, got you. That's a good pick, mate. I like that.
Yeah. iAmazing is better if you have it.
And that's not in SetApp anymore.
No, I don't know. They switched out. Yeah, they got popular, and they was like, we don't need you.
So the big thing the last bit of news this week that's really kind of worth having as a big bit before the kind of picky bits that we've got at the bottom. Apple's get an event. I love the headline for this. Apple has a rumored media event at the end of March on April the 3rd. So they're saying Tuesday the 31st is going to be the event. And then on April 3rd, the iPhone SE 2 is going to drop, if that's even a real thing, or an iPhone 9, which I just don't see iPhone, because iPhone's always September, isn't it? The only other thing that they're talking about is an iPad Pro maybe coming with an update with three cameras on it. What do you reckon?
The phone and the three cameras I completely get. The iPad and the three cameras?
I don't get that. I don't get that.
The irritating people that hold up the magazine at the concert basically try to take pictures. Like, I don't know. I hate these rumors so much it hurts my face.
No, I know, but I had a keynote running and I was using my phone to advance the keynote at the event. So I didn't want to take a picture of my phone, so I pulled my iPad out and I went to go and hold it up and I was just like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And I couldn't make myself take a picture with an iPad. It was like, no, you become one of those wankers then. Don't do it.
Okay, I don't know if it's a bad word to call someone to get, but the first thing I would think of if I saw somebody bust out a tablet to take a picture.
Yeah, right. Okay. I thought about it. I nearly did it, but I didn't.
It's really funny when I'm in Japan and I'm in a tourist destination and it's normally the ladies because they have a bag big enough that whips out an entire iPad and they're trying to take a picture of this, like, you know, 3,000-year-old temple.
Yeah, 12-inch Pro.
It's like, it's something corny about that.
Yeah, and then they have to step back. Because the thing is as well, with the phone, you've got a much, much wider angle on the screen, so you'll capture more by nature with the phone. So you're going to have to, with an iPad, you're going to have to come back because it's not going to be anywhere near as wide a field of vision. But no. Yeah. New report says that Apple is definitely planning to hold a media event, and it's going to be iPhone 2 seems to be the big lockdown on it. Possibly a 13-inch MacBook Pro. Apple tile-like AirTags tracker items and a wireless charging mat. There's never going to be a wireless charging mat. That is dead. It is done and dusted. I won't see that happening at all.
The trackers I could go for. I can go for new trackers. My old ones are dying. I don't know why Apple would jump into a business like that. I don't see the... not really the money play, but the worth in it. But everyone seems to think they're going to do it. But, like, why? Why do they care?
It's not their thing. Because they've got to fix it then as well. They've got to have a Genius Bar appointment when it's not working and that kind of stuff. So it's just ridiculous. You got your Cylon-y buzz coming back, Cal.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there we go. It's a bit to you. Definitely you. Do you know all the years that we sat and dealt with Cylon shit noises through this podcast? I feel I don't wish to lord on it, but it's just like we don't get that as much anymore, and it's just nice not to have it.
Only when I'm on the podcast you get it, lovely.
No, it's your kit that's causing it. It's not my end.
No. I'm not blaming. Oh God, no! It's definitely me and my 10-year-old army.
That's quite impressive though that you've got a 10-year-old iMac and it's still working and doing a good job. You know, the audio thing is probably more likely your headset than necessarily the card.
It used to do it on the other one, but just less frequently. So it is definitely the £7 microphone.
Ooh, big spend.
No expenses spared. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm just going to look at the calendar and see what happens.
Goodness, you want to talk about hilarious? Because I know better because I watched so much British TV, but he said £7 microphone. I thought he meant weight.
Damn, that's a big microphone. Even the Yeti's not that much. No.
I was like, what the hell kind of mic is that?
Does that come with a clip?
Yeah.
Or a neck strap?
Oh. Sorry, I just hit my microphone and it doesn't weigh £7.
The microphone's so heavy that it pulls you forward and you form your own acoustic canopy over it for improved audio quality.
Hey, I don't know if you're going to go out and buy one, but the hot new thing, and I've tested one out last week, is Rode has a new XLR mic. It's called the Pod Mic. And it is incredible. Those Aussie dudes know how to make a killer microphone.
Rode do good stuff, man. It's just some of it's just a little. It is good stuff, so it's pricey. But it's just like, oh, you know, do I need to spend that much? Do I want to spend that much? You know, I've got a Rode NG2 that I absolutely adore as my shotgun mic for my camera, and I've got a Sennheiser as well, which we got when we were at Macworld. I love those two mics, but it's like they brought this new thing out, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, this one is cool because it's only $100 for a podcasting mic. It's cheap.
That's
normally
really good.
$100 podcasting mics are famously rubbish, and the only people that like them are the people that got one. I was so in love with my Blue Nessie. I thought it was the coolest thing. It sounded really, really great, but it had the worst dynamic range. And whenever you would go to do, you know, like compression or normalize, you would just have this horrible, like roomy, weird sound to it. And the same with the snowballs. When I watch YouTube videos where someone's still talking on the snowball or a podcast when someone's having mic problems, it's always the old $99 blue mics and they just never seem to work. So the only good $99 mic ever is still the SM58 because you can throw that thing across the room, pick it up, and it will still sound exactly like 1960s rock and roll.
We always did this
Rode microphone.
We always did the I always did the news show with the Rode Podcaster, and that was a quality mic. That is still, I mean, I've got two of them, and one of them's up with Chris Campion. He still uses it, and the audio quality is crystal. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that podcast is still $300. It's still one of the top mics.
Wow.
That's a gorgeous mic, though.
So which one is this? Which mic are you talking about getting?
I'm trying to get you the link, but I only found B&H photos, so I didn't know if that would throw it off because the pound won't show.
I was just trying to get a picture up to show everyone, but
it's called the Rode Pod mic. Probably just go to Rode's website. It's probably the fastest way. It should be right on the front.
The reporter.
I always forget. Here, I got the link. I'll send it to you. I always forget how to do the little O on the computer.
Yeah, so is that a dynamic or is that a it's a dynamic,
it's
right?
Dynamic.
Not a condenser. So that'll be good for patterns for avoiding interference and feedback.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're on the road page and you scroll down just a wee bit, you'll see they show the pattern.
The pod mic. Here we go. It's just popped up as a featured product. There we go.
Yeah, because they just made it. But it sounds incredible. It's really, really good. And it's a little smaller than the AKG that I have right here. I have an AKG P420 that I use for the last, I don't know, 5 years. But I think I'm going to pick this up because right now when I bring guests, I give them an SM58S cordless. And it's pretty good, but you can run into the Callum issue right now every once in a while. And so I want to get rid of the wireless and go back to another hardwired. And so I think picking up a couple of these will be cheap. And it's a very, very good sounding mic.
So what's it like for gain level though as well? Because one of the things that you got the Rode Podcaster, which was great and it had a really good punch to it. But I bought a Rode Broadcaster, which was the XLR version. And it didn't have enough top end. It was so quiet compared to the other microphone. You couldn't boost it in post or anything. It was not a good mic for me for getting the level of volume that I wanted.
And you know what's funny about that? One of the other probably most popular mics is the Shure SM7B, you know, the Shure big monster one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that thing has really low gain. Like it's super, super horrible. And so you always have to boost it. But this guy has a 57 dB sort of sensitivity, which is pretty good. So I've come to find out in resetting up my studio and sort of trying to do all of my kit, it's a combination of two things. One, it is the microphone, but it's also on your interface, like SSL. Really, really great British mixer company, famous for Rolling Stones and, you know, the SSL Neve studio out there somewhere. I don't get my British geography on point, but they were always one of the most famous recording studios. And SSL, you know, the high quality mixing desk, they just came out with a portable SSL 2 Plus, and it has a really, really broad dynamic range in the gain in like 62. So it would even push something like that old Rode mic or the Shure, because your mixing desk has to have a strong enough sort of mic level and dynamic range in order to pick up those low level mics. And again, a lot of the just plug it to the computer yourself mixing desks, the really small ones, they don't have that sort of mic boost built in. Craziest thing ever, that new SSL that they invented for podcasters is like $200. And you normally couldn't buy an SSL fader knob for $200. Yeah, so like Everybody's starting to realize that we're about 790,000 podcasts. So we're about to break that million barrier. And there's a bunch of people jumping in. So the high quality kit manufacturers are really going all in on making podcast gear.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like the look of it. I have to say, it's a nice looking mic. I just worried about the gain level on it and that kind of stuff. But we use.
You know what? You're big enough. Just email them and tell them they'll send it to you because we have enough. We have over 50,000 people, so I think we have a big enough audience.
Well, we bought wireless. I'm just going to make a bit of a noise here. I get this off, but we bought wireless AKGs here that we use in the studio, and they're absolutely superb. The direction on them is superb. If you just move even slightly away. So you don't get any doubling off the other mics if they're used in here. And you don't have to have it right up close, but as long as you've got it in line with the voice, you get a really good sound quality off it. And it's absolute. Oh, aye. No, it's come back. There we go. You get a really good sound quality off it. And they were really expensive. They were 500. We've got three of them. They were 500 quid each. but for some reason, Gear 4 Music had a pile of them they wanted to get rid of because they got a new brand coming in, and they gave them to us for 100 quid each.
Wow.
And we've got the
I love my AKGs.
They did it with like a package, so you actually got the base station as well. So I bought three of them with the base station, and we've got three base stations in case the base stations crap out now, which is superb. Really good. AKG is really good quality. I've got a dynamic AKG, a handheld one, and that is, I mean, the only problem is it's like the coating's denatured, so it's sticky shit and it's horrible. You have to, I'm trying to scrape it all off, but it's like the more I scrape it, the worse it feels. So it's like if you want to give it.
I've still got my £7 one, so.
Well, we need to get you. Have a word with Mo, mate. Get one of those £100 jobbies, pal. That's what we need.
No, I think we're going to probably in the next couple of weeks have a look at getting something that won't be sold to anyone. Kind of set up and dedicated for the podcast a bit more. So.
Well, you're using Skype, mate. I mean, you can. 2010, it's working. 2010 works, mate. Don't knock it. Apple. Is designing its own 5G antenna, apparently, because it's so pissed off with Qualcomm's version. There's a bit of this story here that I'm just sitting thinking, it feels like we're running headlong into when 5G was supposed to become ubiquitous, but actually there's so many pieces missing from the jigsaw, I can't see it coming for a while. I think it's going to be one of those vaporwares for a little bit longer than it probably should be.
Yeah. And you got the cities over here and the companies, Verizon, T-Mobile, like during the Super Bowl, all they were going on and on is about their 5G. AT&T is famously doing their boosted 4G, 5G trouble they caused. And in the places where it is, it's incredible. It's fast. When I was in San Diego, like having a breakfast with Adam, it's ridiculously fast, but yeah, it's definitely slower than everyone thought. And I just talked about, I talked about on my podcast, how everyone here got scared because, you know, all the rumors are it's going to make your head fall off and it's going to give you like, you know, brain damage and all this other stuff. And then, so I went to the CDC and I got all of the, that's our disease control people. And I got all of the stats. Since cell phones have come out, there hasn't been an uptick or downtick at all in any sort of brain cancer. So that thing that went around was a complete,
it's rubbish.
Like, rubbish. And it's funny because I still see people with the sticker on the phone. You know, that little sticker was supposed to stop, you know, from causing any problems. But I think most people are so afraid of it here that they had to do a lot more PR than R&D.
Yeah, the thing is,
the only thing I could think of.
If you've got a microwave energy, then its transfer, its nature is heat. It's not DNA change. So you're not going to cause cancer with it. All you're going to do is heat and cook the tissue. That's all. And the tissue penetration, the frequencies you talk about, you might get a bit of a singeing on your ear maybe or something like that, but it's never going to turn cancerous just because of the fact it heated up. There's nothing that'll do DNA level changes. So
the one that I broke down was bollocks. The wave.
Yeah, no.
It's the wrong frequency by a long shot.
The thing that's interesting with 5G as well, though, is so in the UK, we're Boris Johnson has said that he's going to back Huawei for the 5G because, and I think, to be honest, I don't know if he said this, I'm not going to quote it, but I think effectively he said we got Huawei because of the fact there's nothing else out there that's of any real value. There's nothing out there that's of any real consequence that we can take on and we know is going to be present, whereas Huawei have said that they will. And then you got all the China issues with Huawei and the fact that it pisses off Trump and that kind of stuff. But I think the actual application and mass proliferation of 5G is in real trouble at the minute.
The good news is that Apple, with them buying their Surface chip companies and stuff like that, it is something that they can actually tackle. Whereas in the past, they would have been screwed and they would have been stuck to whatever's coming out there. That's one of the advantages that Samsung has too, right? They can always fab their own stuff. So
I was going to say, actually, on the back of that, do you think that actually Apple have decided to make their own because of the fragmentation, because of the fact they don't want to be caught in that crosswind of of crap.
That's the most intelligent move.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds logical now I thought about it with you.
Yeah, definitely.
That never happened. Somebody write this down.
Well, you said something, and then I thought of something, and then between us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That never happens. Between us, we never had logical thought ever, not even put together. So we better write this down.
Yeah, no, you'd say. What were you doing the day that Ewan and Doc agreed and actually came up with a cumulative plan that solved a problem or thought that they solved a problem? Not happening. Apple Maps has got transit directions in the EU. This was a really good story because like, oh, that's really cool. And then I realized we're not in the EU anymore. And sure enough, here's the list of countries in the EU who have got transit directions. France, Germany, Spain, no UK. Thanks, Brexit. Have you got transit directions in the US?
In some cities, not all.
And not all, right. So in the cities where you have it, is it functional? Is it good? Or is it a bit of a... Because the thing is, what I was going to say was, Apple Maps is really... some of it's great, but a lot of it is half-baked in comparison to things like Google Maps and Waze and that kind of stuff. The functionality just doesn't seem to be there in the same level.
So naturally, transit maps in San Francisco are incredible. San Diego was pretty good. Portland was here and there. And according to Chuck and Verso, it has to do with the transit company providing the information to Apple. They just can't go and take it, you know? So if the employee that works there is understanding and gets what's, you know, going on, then you get good transit maps. And if they don't, they don't. And so Portland has about three different transit things going on. And then so, and again, this could be fixed because it's been almost a year. Next week will be like a year that I've been there. Yeah, so it completely depends on the city officials. And that's the part that I think is kind of junk. Phones in cars do really well because as long as people have it on and people don't know about setting their privacy correctly, you'll always get pretty good traffic info. But as far as the bus schedule, that some of it they can extrapolate from the amount of bodies on phones on the bus, but nowhere near as much as cars. And plus, a lot of cars have CarPlay too. So, you know, like my car is a full-on hotspot the whole nine yards. So my car is great for traffic, like Waze and Google.
No. I don't know. How many people have actually got... location services and tracking turned off on. It'd be interesting if there was a percentage that Apple must have that.
I would say, less than 10%.
I've got it off.
Yeah. I would say less than 10% have got it off. The people that have it off are the ones that are techie enough to have watched the report that says they're tracking everything you do. And then to go and listen to my last podcast where I talked about trackers on solid.fm, shameless plug.
And you should be plugging it every chance you get, you Muppet.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I think they would be the only ones that know that you can go and turn it off. I think the average person doesn't know because by default, it's kind of sort of not really on. You just install the app and you go, I want to get to my game. So click, 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 click. And you never read what's in those things. I never read until I decided to do a podcast on it. And oh my God, it's creepy. But well, I wish Adam was here to tell him there is no way in HE double hockey sticks that lady from Amazon is listening to you all day, every day. It's just physically impossible.
Oh, you need to read a report actually that's come out recently that they're going to get really bad with that kind of stuff. And they've been open about it. Sorry, Callum, go ahead.
No, I'm just, when I kind of say to people, you're saying about, people from Amazon are not going to listen to you all day when people ask about kind of data security. Most people are fairly boring, to be honest, which is why they don't listen in. They probably could, which is kind of frightening with all the kind of...
Yeah, but they're not listening for entertainment, dude.
No, of course not. Most people don't do anything that's worth listening to.
Also, I'm always gobsmacked by the number of people that listen to this podcast for entertainment.
There you go. Actually, the way I explained it to people is if you know how to go into your router, turn on your traffic monitoring, and watch how much your your A device or your, you know, G Assistant or even your Siri, how much data it sends out, and it's very little. So that's how you know that they're not listening, because your traffic on your modem would be pinging all day. And many people, not me, but most of the people in the country still have caps. So your data cap would be gone in 3-4 days if your phone was sending stuff up all day, every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the simplest one, without getting into any of the tech or the freakiness or the anecdotal situations where there has been an accidental, you know, mic stuck on because of a hardware issue or something. Those are going to happen. But to them to be sitting around rubbing their paws together, it just doesn't happen. And the cool thing is, the amount of cookies, not really cookies, that's the term, but I'm just using it because it's easier to understand. The amount of stuff we leave around, the little gingerbread bits, you know, from Hansel and Gretel, that we leave around on our own, is so easy to extrapolate all I need to know about you. I can be like, now making this up so nobody goes looking for Callum. I can be like, Callum is a lad in his early 20s. He likes to kick it in bars around Bath. He loves himself a good game of cricket. He drinks like, you know, these type of chips, crisp, as you guys call it. He drinks PG tips. He has a 10-year-old iMac. He drives a car with duct tape on the window. I could figure all of that out just from your daily moving around. And from that, I would know to advertise to him a 10-pound mic that would sound better than the 7-pound mic. It's super simple to do. And when you realize what's in those trackers through a program like Ghostery or Firefox, the latest update in Firefox, you will see how much info, like, they collect. The answer I found, it was 52,000 data points Facebook Pixel collects on you. Like dumb stuff that you wouldn't even think matters. But that's how we can sit here and talk about mics. And honestly, you guys are all going to start getting mic ads in your Instagram and Facebook feed because of what we've been talking about. And it isn't because we said it. It's because you and I clicked a couple of links. And by geolocation, they would know that we were in the same pub. And then so people that we know will start getting it because they figure they must be as nerdy as us.
So what you're saying is you've got to have the geek that knows that he's being tracked, and it's got to be also, he's got to have the tinfoil hat trait as well as for it to actually be.
Yes, to have turned everything off.
Yeah.
And if you have it, and I would tell you, most people just don't. The other thing that's scary for you, Ewan, because you're a father, there are games that, they're not high level games. You guys mostly play good stuff and your picks are always good. So you're a little bit more aware, but the parents would just let their phone download any games. Where most of this stuff was going on were in these cheesy knockoff games. So instead of getting Candy Crush, they got like Sweets Smash. And that's one that had the ability to listen into a mic or whatever. Yeah. And most of those libraries get shut down once they're found out. But you got to be careful what games you let your kids download, because that's where it normally comes from, crappy games.
The thing that always, like the default line that I've got is, right, if Siri was constantly listening to what I said, it would be better.
That's true. That was the other part in the podcast I mentioned. You can't get her to listen when you want her to listen. So it's definitely not listening to you all the time,
because voice, it's not even working.
It's not really working. It's not working good as is. You ask for a pint and it tells you, no, there's three movies that you might like.
Here are cinemas near you. this podcast and all this is helped along by the amazing TSO host. We are still indebted to them. They give us all the server space. They store all of the shows that we've done right the way back to the start of the network. They're all there online. You can go back and you can get the original Mac show. You can get the original Big Show on the TSO service host because of them. They're brilliant. You get 20% off, which is great. So if you get any hosting services and type in BTN20, your basket reduces by a fifth straight off. We've had a guy, Andy Coleman, who in the Slack room today says, I want to move everything over to TSO host. Just use the offer code, what they like. And someone said, No, I had a bit of problem moving over, so I rang up the support, and the support was brilliant. They just pushed me straight over. They helped. It was no problem at all. Really great support. Really great people. really kind to this network. So if you are a listener to us and you value us doing the podcasts in future, then you need to support them. Get yourself out on the socials and do thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because without that recognition of brand, we would go away, because, you know, that's what they want from us. They want us to get you guys saying their name an awful lot on social media. So please help us out and get that done. The other people are IMEN Max. Callum's here from IMEN Max. Great firm. Based right here in Birmingham. Very touchable for me. I can go and have a cup of coffee with them in 20 minutes from where we are in the studio. And if you've got a Macintosh device or an Apple device, anything with an Apple logo on, I guess, they can fix it. And we're talking right down to the very fine, fine stuff. So a legacy machine that Apple wouldn't even touch, give it to these guys. 2010 IMAX, as you've heard off Callum, he'll be in there fixing that right at the very, very soldery level, right the way down to the tiny logic boards and that kind of thing. They will fix it. They do refurbished equipment as well, if you'd like to buy something for the home, just something simple for the family, for emails and a bit of browsing. And also they do data recovery as well. And there's nearly always a machine of the week that we're going to put you on the spot, Callum. Have you got a machine of the week for us?
The machine of the week is, we have actually an iMac of a similar age to the one I'm using, not the one I'm using. It's been fully refurbished. It comes with an SSD, and I'm selling that with a 6-month warranty for £250. And that will do absolutely everything you'd need it to, your emails, your kind of web browsing and whatnot. So, pop onto the website, have a look at it if you're interested. So, an absolute bargain.
I've got a 2009 MacBook Pro down here, and it still runs just fine. I've topped it out at Mountain Lion, because there's no point in going any further than that with it in terms of OS. It will load some more, but it doesn't work as well. But,
to be honest, kind of most machines from that era will run 10.10, 10.11, El Capitan fine, if you've got the right hardware behind it.
Right, okay. And if people have got an older machine, sticking an SSD in is probably one of the best things they can do for upgrade, isn't it? Max out the memory, stick an SSD in, and you'll get a brand new machine.
Absolutely. I mean, whenever people come in and kind of ask our advice, you have to kind of treat an SSD as an investment, because even when people go, what if my machine dies next week? We'll take your SSD out and pop it in a new refurb for you, and you'll have all your data and you'll be away. So, really, really worthwhile doing, definitely.
Yeah, and everything's warranted as well, isn't it? All your work's warranted.
Absolutely,
If you get any problems, just go back, get it sorted. Again, brand recognition for IMN Max. Please get yourself out on the socials and to say thanks to at IMN Max for supporting at British Tech, because we stuff without them. And if you do go to them and get some of your stuff done, I mean, you can post your stuff in. That's not a problem. Curry it over. Mm-hmm. You don't have to drive it to Birmingham. And they'll carry it back to you. It's not a problem. But if you do use them, make sure you mention BTN. Otherwise, again, we won't get the credit for the brand recognition. So.
And also you get 5% off still.
Ooh, 5% discount. There we go. Can't pass
that. See, I worked really hard to throw everybody off the path and tell them that he was in Bath. I even said it right this time. And then you said he's in Birmingham. I was trying to, keep his privacy together.
You're obviously talking when the weekends when he goes drinking in Bath. Bath. It's Bath.
Bath.
Bath in Birmingham, mate. Bath.
Yeah, no, it is Bath. Yeah.
And we're going to have a party day soon, aren't we? In March, maybe. We're going to have a Friday where we do the shows from here, and all of the IMEN boys, we're going to see Joe on camera. All of the IMEN boys, Max, boys are going to be down here, and we're going to have we'll have an aperitif or two, I'm sure. And then we'll get a curry, and we'll come back and have another aperitif or two. And you've sussed out the train times, haven't you? Because he knows he can get a train from here at 11 o'clock back to the Birmingham area. So that'd be good. Time for the cool thing.
Sorry. No, I was fanboying over this iPhone recovery on Callum's page.
Yeah.
It says that we specialize, spelled different from an American, on these devices that have liquid damages. And it shows him pulling the chip off with some tweezers and a heat puller. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
I'll
have to post some pictures of the setup and show everyone what we do. We've actually got an iPhone data recovery in at the moment. So when I diagnose that tomorrow,
make a little video. That'd be perfect.
It's cool.
You see his microphone as well for the solder. He's not microphone. He's microscope for the soldering.
Yeah.
Really, really tiny, tiny, tiny stuff.
It costs more than £7.
It's good. you might have to wait for you. I mean, what's best? Best you probably get from away is what, 3 days? You wouldn't get overnight.
No, not
for anything less than $500 or something.
It'd be a long wait. That's pretty cool.
But Europe, we could do Europe. Europe's next day. We could do. We could do Europe. We could do Birmingham. Yeah, we could do John O'Groats, Land's End. Yeah, that's fine. Right, time for the cool thing now. Doc, start us off.
All right. So, again, I something that I've poo-pooed for a long time, but I'll be a grown-ass man and sit here and say that I was completely wrong. There are some things that you need to tighten up. And the first, it's a combination pick. One of the, it's not going to cost you anything. The first one, stop using Chrome and switch to Firefox, because they've gotten much better in the last couple of years. And if you do nothing else in this list, just do Firefox, because it does much better with the tightening of the security and keeping the trackers from following you around. The second part of this pick is something known as Privacy Badger. If you go to EFF.org, and again, this is absolutely free, Privacy Badger is a plugin for all of your browsers except Safari. I'll explain why Safari in a second. It basically tightens up the invisible trackers and the third-party cookies and the Facebook pickles and stuff that really can actually cause you some problems, because it's very easy to be sent to a page that just disappears and goes, oh, this page doesn't work. And all they were really doing was connecting third-party cookies together, which sends all types of information about you back to somewhere. And then so without being overly paranoid, it shouldn't break any of your pages. If you do have a page that doesn't load properly, you click on the Privacy Badger icon and there's check boxes of what you might have to turn on for that page. And if you know it's a trusted source, then you're okay. And then the last part of this pick is on the, let me cover Safari. Safari is Privacy Badger Lite, because Safari does a really good job of blocking these stuff already. As much as people like to give Apple crap, they've been very strong in their privacy policies. So Safari has, on its own, does a lot of this stuff, but it's not impervious. So you back it up with Privacy Badger Lite or Ghostery, both of which are free, which will add a little bit layer to your Safari. And then the last pick is on your mobile device. If you want to go to somewhere, you want to make sure you don't get tracked, Firefox has an application called Firefox Focus, which runs on your iOS. And Firefox Focus is so good that every time you close the browser, it actually deletes everything. So both the regular Firefox and Firefox Focus, it doesn't leave these things open, so that if you accidentally go to a site and your cookies aren't flushed, it doesn't just say, let me grab everything in the cookies folder and pull it up. Because that's how they do it. They say that you're going to accept this one cookie. And when you say accept it, if you don't read the cookie policy, it might also tell you that I'm going to grab all the rest of the cookies and pull them. And I'm going to build a data profile off of that. And so that's how, when you're at a pub talking about gravity blankets, you all of a sudden have 1,000 ads for gravity blankets. So any mix of those free apps will just tighten your security up, especially if you have young ones around the house. That's the answer. That's my picks for today. Excellent. I never do free picks.
Well, you have now. And three of them. Well done, mate.
There you go.
Callum, what's your cool thing? Yeah.
So my cool thing this week, it's going to come with another plug as well. It's a new hot plate we've got in store.
This is a bit niche, dude.
What it does mean we can do is now glass only Apple Watch screen. So it's something that's been asked for a very, very long time.
Oh, right, Fluff, are you listening?
So we can do glass only, so that, you know, if you go into the Apple store, for example, we had an Apple Watch 4 in last week. That's about £340 in the Apple store. I believe we did it for about £150 cheaper. We'll have to double check that, but it's a really cool bit of kit. So allows us to heat up the screen and then run a very, very, very thin piece of wire between the layers and get it off. And it's got a vacuum in it as well, so it holds it down to the hot plate itself. So really, really neat. I know, very niche, but does mean that we can help a lot of people that have asked for it, because there's probably been two or three in BTN that have asked for it.
Yeah, so, there is. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We can do it now. So
cool.
Nice. That's actually pretty cool. I would buy one just to play with it.
Just to take your screen off your watch every morning and put it back on.
No, I have a whole bunch of stuff I could take apart with this hot plate. This is actually pretty cool. It's only $65 here.
So when Doc gets it, and then the day's gone. Sits there in his pajamas, and he's still playing with his heat thing.
With his JZY, yeah.
My cool thing, I bought my Maverick Mini the other week, and I love it. It's great. I got it from as part of a credit note that I had left over with Wex. And it's a fantastic drone. This week we've had a ridge tile gone off the roof of the house, and I stuck the drone up to try and look at what the damage was and flew it all around the roof from the back garden. It was perfect, crystal clear images. One of the things is that's a bit of a pain in the ass, I got the XS Max, and whilst it does fit in the handles for the hand controller, it's at its maximum width, and it's not particularly, I don't enjoy doing it. So, and plus my hands are over the screen a little bit because I've got big hands. So I bought this thing. It's the Lecoufi, I guess, lightweight aluminium tablet holder. So you can get in up to a 7-inch tablet in it, but your iPhone XS Max is going to fit in perfectly. Comes on a metal plate that fits in the space where your iPhone's supposed to go. Only downside is you need to buy a longer cable to get it into the remote control, but it is absolutely superb. And you can mess around and your hands go underneath. You don't actually need to look at the controls to see where they are when you fly it. And your hands are actually getting in the way if your screen's in front of you. So this keeps it nice and high above your hands. And it's absolutely wonderful. Really nicely balanced as well. Only £20. There you go. It's not too bad.
Oh, I need that.
It's good. Real good. There's loads of them out there. Yeah, but this is the one I bought and it was
cool. Yeah, because this thing does not fit good inside the controller.
No.
So
that's the problem.
I bought Karen an iPhone 11 Pro, and so I took her old 8 and I was going to sell it, and I go, wait, this fits in the drone a lot better.
Yeah. So get the thing, and it's really the way it's made is lovely. It just sits and it slots in nicely. It's perfectly made, and you can totally tilt and twist the thing, and it holds it probably about 3 inches above the controls, so you can get your hands under there comfortably. It's good.
Even with big Ewan hands. That's cool. With
big hands. Bigger than my face. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internets at DOCROCK on most thingies. And you can find me at solid.fm.
Excellent, mate. Cal, where would you be?
So you can get a hold of us on our website. You can give us a ring, drop us an email at info@immmax. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all the usual socials. I'm on Twitter as well. It's at O'Hara Callum if you want to ask me a question. But we're all very friendly. We've got a nice team here. We've got Joe, who won't come on, but he's nice, I assure you. So, get in touch.
We've got, don't forget, the data color competition is still going. We're going to extend that, I think, because we haven't done shows for the last couple of weeks. I think we're going to extend that to the end of March. So we've got two data color spider calibrators to give away for two listeners. What you need to do is go and find us on YouTube and like and subscribe. And then from all the subscribers that we've got on British Tech Network YouTube page, we're going to pick a winner, and two winners will get on each of the calibrators. You can follow me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. We're going to be back again next Friday as normal. We'll definitely be here, and it'll be the normal crew, the normal times, the normal back to normal Fridays. Sorry about the screw up for the last few weeks, but stuff happens, eh? Have a great weekend. Really enjoy it without a storm to go and batter you to death. And we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.